Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Nice to see you good folk again. And I want to thank you for all the invitations that I've had over many years now to preach here. It's always a joy and a privilege to share the Word of God with His good people. Oh, thank you.
Sorry about that.
As I said, it's always a privilege to be able to share the Word of God with these people. Last time I was here, I saw a book in the foyer with the title of "Where is God in this messed up world?" It's exactly what we've been looking at in the book of Habakkuk. It's written by Roger Carswell. And I borrowed it for a couple of weeks, and I've read through it, and it's well worth reading. So if you can, it's in the foyer, have a look at it. It's, as I say, it'll be good food for your soul. I want to know what your opinion is on the following. A man is falsely accused of rape, and he is put in prison. Is that good or bad? A godly man struggles to get enough food and water to survive. Is that good or bad? An innocent man is executed on trumped up charges. Is that good or bad? My first impulse was to think that all these are bad things. I'm not sure what your first impulse was. But a man is falsely accused of rape and goes to prison. Could this refer to Joseph? It turned out for good, didn't it? This led to him becoming the Prime Minister of Egypt, or as Walt Disney says, the Prince of Egypt. A godly man struggles to find enough food and water to survive. This refers to Paul. What did Paul say about his weakness? He said, "God's strength is made perfect in his weakness." An innocent man is executed on trumped up charges. This, of course, refers to Jesus Christ. But that was a good thing for us. Otherwise, we could never have been saved. Now, doesn't this tell you some that our judgment can be all wrong? We can get things horribly wrong. We don't know the full story. We don't know what is best. And sometimes we could actually be working against God's plan. And we have got to learn to trust something else, not always our own judgment and our own wisdom. We've been looking at that over the past few weeks in the series on the book of Habakkuk. Let me do a quick recap, and I promise I won't be as long as last time. But the basic theme of the book of Habakkuk is what? God brought Habakkuk from a situation of despair to a state of joyful praise without changing the circumstances. And that's important, without changing the circumstances. And the basic application of the book of Habakkuk is, how do you trust God during difficult, frustrating, and soul-disturbing circumstances? And the beginning of the answer is that you learn to trust God when you evaluate your problem in the light of God's ways, which are revealed in Scripture. And this isn't instantaneous. It's a process. Now, last time we saw that God gave Habakkuk his second answer. Although he was going to use the Chaldeans to punish the sin of Judah, he was also going to judge and punish the Chaldeans for their own sin. And we saw that there were 5 taunts and 3 treasures in Habakkuk chapter 2. And the taunts were 5 woes that God pronounced against the sins of extortion, the sin of exploitation, the sin of bloodshed, the sins of debauchery and idolatry, which the Chaldeans were guilty of. And we must remember that God will always judge and punish sin, no matter whose sin it is. But in between those verses, 3 gems sparkled out brightly. And the first was in chapter 2 and verse 4, the just will live by his faith. And then in verse 14 of chapter 2, one day the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord. And then in verse 20 of chapter 2, and one day all the earth will be silent before the Lord in his holy temple. Let me just remind you of some Christian principles that have come out of what we have studied so far. And the first is, God's ways are not your ways. God's ways are higher, bigger, and better. And then secondly, expect things to happen in your life that you will never understand. Thirdly, some, but not all, of God's ways are hidden to us. And then number 4 is, step back from your problem and establish what you already know about God. And then the 5th one was, God's ways may make you wait. And then number 6 was, God's ways are still future. Now this morning I would like us to consider Habakkuk chapter 3. So if you could turn to that chapter, that would be good. And yeah, the prophet gives his response to God's second answer. Remember last time I told you that God had now finished speaking. He had said his last word to Habakkuk, and now comes Habakkuk's response. So let's get started as we consider, first of all, Habakkuk's prayer. Habakkuk's prayer. And it's there in verses 1 and 2 of chapter 3. Let's have a look at that quickly. A prayer of Habakkuk the prophet on Shigionoth. Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds, O Lord. Renew them in our day, in our time. Make them known. In wrath, remember mercy. Now that word Shigionoth is somewhat obscure. The Bible scholars are not exactly sure of what it means. It could be a literary or a musical term, could be a musical instrument, or even a place. Not absolutely sure. But after being told that the Chaldeans were going to cruelly and viciously overrun Judah, and that they, the Chaldeans in turn, would be completely destroyed, Habakkuk prayed, O Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds. Would you notice that Habakkuk now at this stage did not ask for deliverance? He didn't ask for personal escape. He didn't pray that God would spare Judah. He didn't pray that Jerusalem wouldn't be sacked. He didn't pray that God would change the circumstances. He didn't pray for any of these things because he knew that God must judge and punish sins. And it seems now that at this point, Habakkuk had begun to accept what God had planned. He wasn't questioning anymore. He wasn't complaining. He wasn't protesting. But he was still afraid. He was still afraid. Having to live through a Chaldean invasion would be terrifying. But then Habakkuk made a remarkable petition in his prayer. He says, I stand in awe of your deeds. O Lord, renew them in our day. In our time, make them known. In wrath, remember mercy. O Lord, renew your deeds. What is he referring to? He's referring to the deeds that God had done in the past. And think about it. What had God done in the past? The plagues in Egypt, the Exodus, the crossing of the Red Sea, the miracles and the provisions in the wilderness. There was a whole lot of history to consider. O Lord, renew your deeds. You were faithful to us in the past. Be as faithful to us now. Show us that you're not through with us. And then Habakkuk made an amazing statement in this prayer. He says, in wrath, remember mercy. That's an amazing prayer. When your judgment comes, O Lord, please show mercy. O Lord, do what you have to do, but please be merciful. Isn't that good? He says, God, I know you've got to do it. I know you have to do it, but please be merciful. But you know, then Habakkuk started thinking about what God had done in the past. And so we need to move on and consider Habakkuk's ponderings. Habakkuk's ponderings. And that's in verses 3 to 16. Let's read through that portion. Habakkuk chapter 3, beginning at verse 3. God came from Teman, the Holy One from Mount Paran, Selah. That means stop and think about that. His glory covered the heavens and his praise filled the earth. His splendor was like the sunrise. Rays flashed from his hand where his power was hidden. Plague went before him. Pestilence followed his footsteps. He stood and shook the earth. He looked and made the nations tremble. The ancient mountains crumbled and the age-old hills collapsed. His ways are eternal. I saw the tents of Cushan in distress, the dwellings of Midian in anguish. Were you angry with the rivers, O Lord? Was your wrath against the streams? Did you rage against the sea when you rode with your horses and your victorious chariots? You uncovered your bow. You called for many arrows, Selah. You split the earth with rivers. The mountains saw you and writhed. Torrents of water swept by. The deep roared and lifted its waves on high. Sun and moon stood still in the heavens at the glint of your flying arrows, at the lightning of your flashing spear. In wrath you strode through the earth, and in anger you threshed the nations. You came out to deliver your people, to save your anointed one. You crushed the leader of the land of wickedness. You stripped him from head to foot, Selah. With his own spear you pierced his head when his warriors stormed out to scatter us, gloating as though about to devour the wretched who were in hiding. You trampled the sea with your horses, churning the great waters. I heard and my heart pounded. My lips quivered at the sound. Decay crept into my bones and my legs trembled. Yet I will wait patiently for the day of calamity to come on the nation invading us. Now, it's not easy to untangle these verses, and I'm not going to go into detail. But Habakkuk here was thinking back on some of the history of Israel, and these verses are a concise summary of about 1,500 years of history, things that happened long before Habakkuk was even born. And this is basically a poetic description of God's mighty power. It doesn't seem to follow any special pattern, and it doesn't cover all the main events in Jewish history. But Habakkuk was thinking about the power of God as seen in the past. And Habakkuk thought about God as the God of light, we see in verses 3 and 4, as the God of power in verses 5 to 7, as a God over nature in verses 8 to 11, and the God over the nations in verses 12 to 15. And having pondered about all of that, Habakkuk reacted in fear and trembling when he thought of the greatness of God. He says in verse 16, I heard and my heart pounded. My lips quivered at the sound. Decay crept into my bones and my legs trembled. Yet I will wait patiently for the day of calamity to come on the nation invading us. And basically, Habakkuk was saying, when I thought about God and his power, my bones turned to water. I staggered and stumbled. I sit back now and wait for doomsday to descend on us and on our attackers. Habakkuk makes a prayer here for the Chaldeans. Lord, in wrath, remember mercy. Why pray that for the enemy? Why pray like that when they were just going to come in and destroy Jerusalem and its surrounding areas? You know, Habakkuk wasn't just a grumpy old git of a prophet. He felt for them. He had compassion for those evil Chaldeans. And he prays, oh Lord, in wrath, remember mercy. What? Even for the enemy? Yes, the enemy. Do you remember Abraham praying for Sodom and Gomorrah? And you know, we should follow his example. When we think of what the enemies of Christ's kingdom are going to suffer when God delivers his judgment on them. We need to pray for them. We need to pray for them. We need to pray for our enemies as well. We need to pray that God will in his wrath remember mercy over the world. And guess what? There's another principle that comes out of all of this. And it's simply this. Remember that God has proved his faithfulness in the past. God has proved his faithfulness in the past. And Habakkuk thinks back on some of the awesome deeds that God had performed. And he looks back and he sees that God is faithful. And God has proved his faithfulness in the past. Now Habakkuk didn't have too much history to go back on. We've got far more history today. Habakkuk couldn't go back to Calvary. We can go back to Calvary. Just think of God's awesome deeds. Just think of what was accomplished on Calvary. We've got far more history that we can use. And we can look back on Calvary. There's a story about a young boy in Africa. He lost his right hand in a gruesome accident. And it affected him badly. He felt so self-conscious about it that he became depressed and he avoided people. He didn't have any friends because he didn't want any. And one day his father said to him, "I've arranged for the minister of the church in another village to come and see you this evening." And the boy said, "I don't want to see him." And his father said, "Nevertheless, he is coming to see you this evening." "Well, I don't want to see him. He won't understand how I feel. Nobody understands." When the minister came, the boy saw that the minister also did not have a right hand. But more than that, he didn't have a right arm. And he looked at the boy and he said, "I lost my arm when I was about your age. I was attacked by a crocodile." Tell me, do you think that minister understood the boy's problem? Do you think he could have helped the boy? Listen, none of us have ever suffered as much as Jesus Christ suffered on Calvary. Do you think he understands our problems? Do you think he understands your problem? We can go back to Calvary. We can think back to that awesome deed that Jesus did for us. And we know that he understands. We can go back to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We know that Christ has triumphed over death. And he's taken the sting and the victory out of death. We can look back at the ascension of Jesus Christ. We know that he is in heaven preparing a place for us and interceding for us. Can I ask you to look back at your own history? Aren't there occasions in your life in the past where in the nick of time, God has delivered you from some very awkward circumstance? He's just wonderfully worked it out. I can look back on several occasions in my life. God was faithful to you then, God can be faithful to you now. And we must look back and remember the faithfulness of God. Even David, King David, said in Psalm 143 and verse 5, I remember the days of long ago. I meditate on all your works and consider what your hands have done. Then in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 13 it says, if we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself. So in the midst of trying circumstances, look back at God's faithfulness in the past. And remember, he's the same today, yesterday, and forever. Now let's move on and consider Habakkuk's praise. Habakkuk's praise. And it's there in verse 17 and 18, some of the most remarkable verses in the Old Testament. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my salvation. Habakkuk was between a rock and a hard place. He was facing a violent overthrow of his beloved country. What was he to do? He could have said to himself, now come on, Habakkuk, pull yourself together. That would have let him become more miserable than ever before. So what did he do? What did Habakkuk do at this point? He dropped all thoughts of working this out. And he basically said to himself, I'm going to stand here and love God and just keep on loving him and praising him no matter what happens. I'm going to praise the Lord anyway. I'm going to praise the Lord whatever. And what he did is another principle that we can latch on to, and it is this: let God be God and rejoice in him. Let God be God and rejoice in him. And this is the end point. This is the end point of learning to trust God. Trust him to be God. Stand aside and let him do whatever he wants to. Submit to him. You let his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You say, not my will, but your will be done. You bow the knee. You praise him for being who he is. You rejoice in his character. You trust him to do the right thing. You trust him anyway. You trust him whatever. And you rejoice in him. And this is the end point of the book of Habakkuk. You've got to learn to trust God to be God. I don't know why, but while I've been preparing this series on Habakkuk, I've had several songs pop into my mind. Maybe it's because of the very last line of this book, which says, to the chief musician with my stringed instruments. It's almost as if Habakkuk is saying, okay, let's bring out the guitars and sing about this. And another song popped into my mind, and it's a song called Bow the Knee. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's got nothing to do with Black Lives Matter, but it does fit the book of Habakkuk to a T, and I think you might find it on YouTube. Bow the Knee. You probably don't know it, but here are the words. It was written and composed by Chris Macon and Mike Harland, and here's the first verse. There are moments on our journey following the Lord when God illumines every step we take. There are times when circumstances make perfect sense to us as we try to understand each move He makes. But when the path grows dim and our questions have no answers, turn to Him. And the chorus goes, bow the knee, trust the heart of your Father. When the answer goes beyond what you can see, bow the knee. Lift your eyes toward heaven and believe the one who holds eternity. And when you don't understand the purpose of His plan, in the presence of your King, bow the knee. The second verse goes, there are days when clouds surround us and the rain begins to fall. The cold and lonely winds won't cease to blow. And there seems to be no reason for the suffering we feel. We are tempted to believe that God does not know. When the storms arise, don't forget we live by faith and not by sight. Bow the knee, trust the heart of your Father. When the answer goes beyond what you can see, bow the knee. Lift your eyes toward heaven and believe the one who holds eternity. And when you don't understand the purpose of His plan, in the presence of the King, bow the knee. And that's basically what Habakkuk did. He bowed the knee. And what did that lead to? Look at verse 17 and 18. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. It led to joyful praise. Habakkuk had been thinking about one of the worst things possible. An enemy nation would overrun his own beloved country, and he would have to live through that. But then he thought of another worst-case scenario, and he describes it here. Though the fig tree does not blossom, there are no grapes on the vine, the olive crop fails, the fields produce no food, there's no sheep in the pen and there's no cattle in the stalls. What's he talking about here? He's talking about starvation. Because if the crops fail, the people would be facing starvation. This is a bad scenario. But he says, even though that happens, even though the enemy overrun us, even although we cannot get food, I'm going to praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord. I don't care what happens. I will rejoice in the Lord anyway. And Habakkuk's circumstances had caused him to tremble and shake, but his relationship with God was unshakable. It was strong. It was firm. And then there's just one more thing, and that is Habakkuk's provision. Habakkuk's provision, and it's there in verse 19. The sovereign Lord, Yahweh, is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer, He enables me to go on the heights for the director of music on my stringed instruments. Habakkuk says, my God is going to make a provision for me. He's going to be my strength. He's going to be my strength. And he's going to give me feet like the feet of a deer. Now, what does he mean like by that? You know, in South Africa, we have a dainty and a very beautiful little antelope called a klipspringer. And it's my favorite antelope. And a literal translation of klipspringer is rock jumper. This little antelope lives among the rocks and the boulders on hillsides and on the side of cliffs. It's extremely sure-footed. Their feet don't slip as they jump from rock to rock, and it's reputed, I'm not sure if this is true, but it's reputed that they can land on a rock the size of a 2-pound coin. They are so sure-footed. What a wonderful picture this is. That no matter what happens, no matter what my circumstances, God is going to be my strength, and he's going to give me the ability to get around all these cliffs and over these huge boulders. The hard times will come. You won't understand what God is doing or why he is allowing it to happen. But with the strength and the ability that he will give to you, you will be able to get through it. And not only that, right in the middle of the problem, you can learn to praise God from the bottom of your heart. Now you may think to yourself, come on, Brian, is this possible? Is it really possible for an ordinary person like me? Could I ever be like Habakkuk and praise God in the most difficult of circumstances? I remember a pastor telling about an occasion when he was still a young and inexperienced pastor. There was a couple in his church that were involved in a head-on collision, and both were badly, very badly injured. When he got the news, he went to the hospital to go and see them. And being young and inexperienced, on his way to hospital, he was thinking, what am I going to say? What am I going to say to them? How am I going to counsel them? How am I going to comfort them? What on earth am I going to say? And when he got to hospital and he saw the husband, before he could say anything, the husband said to him, Pastor, I've just been to see my wife in the other ward, and we're both very excited about this. And he said, excited? What do you mean you're excited? And he said, we cannot wait to find out what God is going to teach us through this. Can you imagine that? This is a place where God wants us to come. Alan Gardner was a missionary to Patagonia, and his life was full of terrible suffering. And he was found lying dead on the shore of the river beside an upturned boat. And there, where it had fallen from his hands, was his diary. And the diary spoke of his hardships, of his hunger and thirst, of his wounds, and of his loneliness. But the last sentence that he wrote down was this: I am overwhelmed with a sense of the goodness of God. If it's possible for them, it's possible for you and I. God can make it possible. And in conclusion, let me say that the basic theme of the book of Habakkuk is God brought Habakkuk from a situation of despair to a state of joyful praise without changing the circumstances. And as we've journeyed through the book of Habakkuk, we've uncovered 8 principles, spiritual principles. God's ways are not your ways. Expect things to happen in your life that you will never understand. Some of God's ways are hidden. Step back and establish what you already know about God. God's ways may make you wait. God's ways are still future. And remember that God has proved his faithfulness in the past. And let God be God and rejoice in him. Praise God for this little book of Habakkuk. Praise God for what it shows about his holy character, his wisdom, his power, his grace, his mercy, his patience, his long-suffering, his love. And may God have all the honor and all the glory. Amen. Don't you think we should sing a song that praises God in closing? I think we should. So if you could turn to number 560, Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, to his feet thy tribute bring. Ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven, who like thee his praise should sing? Praise him, praise him, praise him. Let's carry on praising God, folk. We stand to sing. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and deed. Amen.